The Old Testament reading for the 21st Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Seek the Lord and live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, with none to quench it for Bethel. O you who turn justice to wormwood and cast down righteousness to the earth. They hate him who reproves in the gate, and they abhor him who speaks the truth. Therefore, because you trample on the poor, and you exact taxes of grain from him, you have built houses of hewn stone, but you shall not dwell in them. You have planted pleasant vineyards, but you shall not drink their wine. For I know how many are your transgressions, and how great are your sins. You who afflict the righteous, who take a bribe and turn aside the needy in the gate. Therefore, he who is prudent will keep silent in such a time. For it is an evil time. Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, will be with you. As you have said, hate evil and love good and establish justice in the gate. It may be that the Lord, the God of hosts, will be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from Hebrews chapter 3. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. As Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Several years ago, I visited an elderly man who was in a nursing home. And when I got there, it was very clear that his dementia had advanced rapidly. And I could tell that he probably didn't have long left for this world. This man wasn't a member of the congregation I was serving at the time, but I did know him from the community. In fact, he was a member at one time, but there was some sort of disagreement, which sadly in this world, in this life, this side of heaven happens. But in his dementia, he didn't recognize me when I entered into the room. So when I walked in that day, first thing he noticed was my clerical collar. And the first thing that he said when he noticed my clerical collar is, "What do you want? Are you here for my money?" Now, at the time, I didn't put too much stock in that comment, and I still don't. Of course, that was the dementia speaking, right? And love covers a multitude of sins, so I didn't think too much of it, and I still don't. So I simply responded to him at the time, "No, I really don't care about your money. I am here to care for your eternal soul. And thanks be to God that we did end up having a rather fruitful conversation and discussion that day, and I do believe this man is in heaven. But I have thought about that since. Just how heartbreaking, how sad, and how unfortunate it is for some people, rather, instead of seeing a pastor, when a man walks into the room with a clerical collar, instead of seeing that man as, praise be to Jesus, this man has been sent here to forgive my sins in the name of Jesus, to comfort me with the gospel and prepare me for a blessed death, a blessed end. Rather than saying that or viewing a man in his collar in that way, instead to cause someone to immediately think, this guy's here for my money. Dear saints, the church is founded upon Jesus Christ and Christ alone. It is not founded upon money. Christ promises that his church will continue no matter what, with or without earthly treasures. Wherever God's word is preached in its purity and the sacraments are administered rightly according to Christ's own institution, there you have Christ and you have his church. And this church will prevail. It will endure. The gates of hell cannot overcome it, and it will continue until Christ returns. So no, the church is not here to separate you from your money. Forgiveness is free, absolutely free. Salvation is free by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Our church doors are open, and you may enter free of charge, and it will remain that way. For here, in this place, Christ comes to serve you with his gifts, with eternal heavenly treasures for you. The work, as we read in Luke 24, verses 46 through 48, the work of the church, then, is to proclaim that Christ suffered and on the third day rose from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. The church baptizes people into the kingdom, into the inheritance of the kingdom of God. The church gathers around the altar and receives as Christ feeds his sheep with his very body and blood, and they receive the forgiveness of sins, an eternal treasure. Christ stands in the midst, the church stands with Christ in the midst of a darkened world as a beacon that shines a great light of God's grace and mercy and forgiveness found only in Jesus Christ. It is the greatest of gifts, and you have it. You possess it. It is the greatest possession you have. Now, sure, God has placed certain expectations, certain responsibilities upon the faithful, upon members of the congregation, in order to do the work that Christ has commissioned his church to do, to preach the word, forgive sins, gather around the altar. The bride of Christ is called to respond to the gifts that her bridegroom, Christ himself, has given to her with prayers and support. St. Paul says, for example, in 1 Corinthians 16, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so also are you to do. On the first day of the week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper, so that there will be no collecting when I come. When I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to Jerusalem, that the gospel may be continued and proclaimed 2 Corinthians 9, he says the same. Paul says, "The point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly nor under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." You may recall that the rite of transfer, the new member's rite, ask these questions. Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do, is the response.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and with the gifts that God has given you?
I will, with the help of God, is the response.
That, dear friends, that is how we are to see our money. It is a gift. It is a gift given to you, one of many gifts that the Lord showers upon his people. No doubt, you worked for it, right? You earned it, but it is a gift. It is a gift that God has given to you for you to manage, to be a good, that's what this word means, steward of the gifts that he has given, entrusted to you. So let's not forget, it is a gift. Let us not forget the giver of that gift. Ironically, I just had a conversation with someone who's transferring in to our congregation. I just had this conversation that I don't like to preach and I don't like to harp about money. In fact, I don't feel comfortable right now talking about it. It's not my favorite thing. Your giving, and the reason why it is not my favorite thing to harp about is because your giving ought to be naturally flowing from the faith that God has given to you, the faith that God has created in your heart. And you should be giving not out of compulsion, but cheerfully and willingly in response to the gospel. Yet, our text this week and our text next week, 2 weeks now, are about money and possessions. So, preaching about money and possessions is included in the whole counsel of God, therefore I must do so. Scripture actually has a lot to say about money and possessions, a lot. In fact, it has a lot of warnings about money and possessions. You see, God cannot be fooled. He knows what is in the heart of man. He knows our innermost desires. And because he knows, and because he loves us, he warns us. He warns us to be careful, because the things that we treasure in this earthly life will possess us. Our treasures will possess us. Let me say it again. The things that we treasure in this life possess us. That was the case of the man in our gospel lesson this morning. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked Jesus. Now, right away, that should throw a red flag up, right? The question itself is flawed. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Inheritance is a gift given to you because there is someone who loves you and wants to give you something, a gift. It is not something that is earned. So it's not what must I do, but it is a gift. Out of love, Jesus responds, well, you know the commandments. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't defraud, honor your father and mother. If you want to know what you have to do to inherit eternal life, look to the Ten Commandments. Do those and you will live. But, of course, we all know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Impossible for anyone other than Christ himself to live by the law. Pure law, Jesus tells this man, pure law meant to humble him and to bring him to repentance and faith in Christ. Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth. Oh, really? Really? Well, Jesus knows what is in the heart of this man. He knows what is in the heart of all of us. So Jesus, verse 21, Jesus, looking at him, this is key, loved him. Loved him and said to him, you lack one thing. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Get rid of it, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Jesus knew that this man had great earthly wealth, earthly possessions. And he also knew that this man trusted and he treasured, remember, what you treasure possesses you, greatly treasured these possessions. He treasured them so much that they were actually blocking him from entering into eternal life. They were possessing him. Possessions were possessing him. And you remember what we read a couple weeks ago, or preached about a couple weeks ago, but even if your hand or your foot or your eye were to hinder you from going into heaven, what should you do with those things? Cut them off, gouge them out, get rid of them. Because it's not worth it, right? It's not worth it. If your possessions then are hindering you, if they are possessing you, and they're blocking you from eternal life, get rid of them. Sell them all. Out of love for this man, Jesus corrected him. He wanted to free this man from what was possessing him and hindering him from the gates of eternal life. He wanted to free him from his great love of wealth and to set him free to love the true treasures of Christ and heaven and eternal life. Verse 22 tells us that Jesus' loving correction hit its mark. Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The law had done its work. From our gospel lesson, we know. We know that because Jesus loves us, he does not want us to be possessed by anything of this world. He wants to free us from anything that stands in the way of being possessed by the one thing that is needful, forgiveness, life, and salvation that he earned on the cross for all mankind. Which here, in this place, even right now, he is distributing to you through his word and his sacraments right here. The things that we treasure in this life possess us. So what do you treasure in this life? What is your greatest possession? What is something that you cannot ever live without? What truly makes you rich in this life and the next? What in all the world can possibly compare to the gifts that God gives to you? His grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his compassion. What can compare to those possessions that are yours by grace through faith in Jesus? What could possibly compare to the certainty and the assurance and the comfort that you have been given in his word and holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper? What could possibly compare to what awaits you, dear believers, what awaits you in heaven? For your money and possessions do not possess you, dear Christian. They do not. Christ does. You are his possession. The church is founded upon Christ, Christ alone, not money. And his word will continue to be preached in all of its purity. His sacraments will continue to be administered according to his institution until he returns with or without your money. This will happen. So no. The church is not trying to separate you from your money. Your money is God's gift to you to care for yourself, to provide for yourself and others, to serve others. But what better way can you care for yourself and serve others than to have this place, take a look around, to have this place where Christ comes to you and forgives you all of your sins, that you may know Jesus Christ and be found in him? What could possibly be better than that? Nobody here is out to get rich, I'll tell you that much, at least not by worldly standards. It's all free. All of it's free. Forgiveness is free. Salvation is free. These doors will remain open, free of charge, forever. Well, if the Lord wills it. For Christ has made you his children, and as his children, you shall inherit eternal life. Your inheritance has already been bought for, it's already paid for, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ, the very God-man, Jesus Christ, who alone is good. Why do you call me good? Christ alone is good because he is God. And he now, after suffering and dying, he now lives and reigns for all eternity for your good. So in response to all that Christ has done for you, this precious treasure that belongs to you, that you do possess, in response to the heavenly treasures that he gives to you each and every day, especially here and now in his word and sacrament, I do pray. I do pray that the Holy Spirit fills your hearts with joy and with cheer. And just as you have in the past, right? Not scolding anyone. Just as you have in the past and that you are continuing to do today, I pray that you would continue to cheerfully, joyfully, willingly continue to support the work of Christ Church, the work that God has given us to do here in this place. Yes, together, we continue the work that Christ has commissioned us to do, proclaiming Christ crucified and risen for sinners, that forgiveness and life may be found in his name, baptizing people into that kingdom so that they too may inherit the kingdom, all the treasures of heaven, that we would gather around this altar and receive the Lord's forgiveness in his very body and blood. And as we stand together as a bright beacon of God's grace, of God's hope, of God's forgiveness and mercy in the midst of a darkened world. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.